Wow, thanks for showing up today. I love that you're here. Summer days, kind of hard, isn't it? You did it. I'm glad you're here. If you're between the ages of 14 and 29, would you stand up? 14 to 29, stand up. 14 to 29. Okay. I want to stay standing. I want to share some good news about you. Did you know that your generation, Gen Z, are on fire for Jesus? And now it's been proven through a study that you, more than baby boomers, more than any other generation, millennials, you are more likely to attend a worship service. Your average, this blows my mind, your average attending a worship service, 6.2 times per month. I know. You're also more likely to attend small groups regularly. You serve more. 36% of you have regular responsibilities at your church. More of you, a higher percentage of you, study the Bible every day. I am so moved by that. That's not all. I got to keep going. In the past 6 months, your generation are the most likely or among the most likely to have served someone they knew who could not repay them. You're more likely to have memorized a Bible verse. You are more likely to have fed the hungry. You are more likely to have visited the sick or homebound. You are more likely to have fasted a meal for Jesus. You are more likely to have invited an unchurched person to service, to church. What? So give yourself a pat on the back. Yeah. I was so encouraged by that. I was like, wow. Now, Nathan, did he make it? Are you still in? Because today's your birthday. You're in? Okay, good. I didn't know at what point. I have one son out of it and two who were in that age group. Thank the Lord for them. Oh, I love young faith. I love young faith. We need your passion in the church. Can I tell you that? And when I say in the church, I don't mean in this building. I mean in our group of believers, in our community, in our church family. We need your passion. We need your compassion. We need it. So thank you for being here today, one of your 6.2 times to be at a service. I mean, that's impressive, isn't it? I'm assuming some of those might be online. I don't know, but maybe you go to more churches too. I don't know. It's pretty amazing. This month, we're talking about the word immerse. And we're talking about what it looks like to live fully surrendered to Jesus. All in, soaking wet, drenched. Okay? But today, I want to address a passage in Ezekiel 47 for a message I'm calling, Why Deeper? Why Deeper? Right? I appreciate young faith, as I just said, but I also appreciate old faith. Can I say that? I gave my heart to Jesus at the age of 3, so I've been walking with the Lord now for 6 decades. That's why I need your passion, Gen Z, because I want that. I never, ever, ever want to lose my passion for Jesus. But I think I have something to offer you also. As I talk about why deeper, I think you'll start to see what I mean. We're going to be in Ezekiel 47 for the whole service today, so turn once and you're there, okay? If you can find Ezekiel, good on you. verses 1 through 5 to start with. Ezekiel says, in my vision, the man, who is actually an angel, by the way, brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along or beside the stream for 1,750 feet. That's about a third of a mile, if that helps you. because I'm terrible with distances. I'm really bad with that. When my GPS says, turn right in 1,000 feet, I'm like, I just have to look at the little picture. Okay, I can do that, right? But so he took me along the stream or the water for 1,750 feet, and then he led me across. So the image there, before we keep going, is that the angel led Ezekiel across by the river. If this is the river, he led him by the river for a third of a mile, and then he said, okay, we're going across. And then he crossed to the other side. Get that image in your head, okay? Led me across. The water was up to my ankles. Verse 4. He measured off another 1,750 feet, another one-third of a mile, and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, the implication there, based on the commentaries I looked up, is that each time the angel led him across the river. So he didn't just go in and go, oh, this is ankle deep. He literally crossed the river, okay? And then the next time it was up to his knees. Verse 5, then he measured, oh, sorry, I missed the end of verse 4. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. So it's getting deeper the further they go, right? Then he measured another 1,750. And the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. I don't know if they swam across it or not. Doesn't say. The first point I want to make very, very clear, and if you forget everything else I say today, I want you to remember this. Point number one, God is the source of the river. God is the source of the river. You see, the temple represented where the presence of God dwelt in that time. So when they thought temple, they thought, oh, God's house. That's what they thought. So the fact that the water was flowing out of the temple demonstrates that God is the source of the river. Like I said, 6 decades. Here's one of the things I've learned. We can do all the things. We can go to church, we can read our Bible every day, we can memorize scripture, we can fast, we can serve, we can do all of the things. But if we stop drinking from the source of the river, those things dry up. They dry us up, and they dry up ineffectiveness. They just dry up. We have to continually take from the source, God, who is the river. We have to continually take from that. And I think you can take from that today while we're all together. But if you only drank water for an hour on Sunday morning and you never touched it again the rest of the week, you're going to have a problem. You're going to be dehydrated. You're going to get weak. Right? And God is the source of the river. Please remember that. Point number two, the further we go, the deeper it gets. I'm such a believer, 6 decades. There are things about God that can only be understood and applied as I continue to go deeper in Him. I have to build history with Him in order to go deeper. It doesn't happen any other way. And the thing is, I've tried. So I'm not standing up here going, I've always done it correctly. Because I haven't. There are some times I set up a tent beside the shallowest part of the river. I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. Really. But what I've learned and what I'm still learning is that the further I go with Him, the deeper it gets if I will go with Him. If I go with Him. I don't think this happens by taking a stroll, la-di-da-di-da-da, by the river an hour on Sunday. It doesn't happen. It doesn't even happen if I'm camping out, like I said. by the river and watching everyone else participate. If you want worship to be more meaningful in your life, participate. A few weeks ago, I had a cold and I couldn't sing for the life of me. Laryngitis, you know. I could speak, but it sounded terrible. But I couldn't get one note out. So I stood up here, not for your sake, for my sake, and I mouthed every word. I did a Milli Vanilli. Some of you are old enough to understand that. I just mouthed every word. Why? Why did I do that? Because I was aching to participate. And the more I can participate, the more it penetrates. But if I just stand and watch everybody else participate, I'm bored out of my mind, to be truthful. It doesn't work for me. And you say, oh, I can't sing. I'm terrible. I don't want anybody to hear me singing. First of all, get over yourself. Nobody's probably paying attention. Sorry. Light bulb. Second of all, if you don't want to sing, mouth it. Find some way to participate, to enter in instead of just observe. It's such a different experience, worship is. Timothy, in the Bible, Timothy talks about a form of godliness, but it has no power to change us or to reflect God well. And I think what he's talking about is church people who come to church but don't really enter in. People who say they believe in God but never talk to him. People who, I don't know, they feel good about just having look like a Christian. You know? And I, like I said, I'm not throwing stones because I've done it myself at times in my life. I've done it. I'm saying, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Verses 6 through 11. He asked me, have you been watching, son of man? I love that. Have you been watching? Then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. I love that so much. Oh, the more we walk with the Lord and stay in him and let him abide in us and we abide in him, we will be surprised by the fruit that grows. We will be like, whoa, where'd that come from? That was pretty amazing. Then he said to me, verse 8, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the what sea? The Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea. And I was there. They don't right now. Whew, I was amazed. Just, you know how where normally there's sand? There's like rock salt naturally there. And then you walk in and all you see are little rock salts. And it's crazy. It's crazy. And if you start floating, you need help to get repositioned. Unless you're athletic, like Carly. Then she's telling you how to get up. I'm like, you don't understand. I can't bend my knee. So I need help. Help. You know. Pretty crazy. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from En Gedi to En Eglaim. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and the swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. Point number 3. Why should we get deeper? Why should we go deeper? Why should we not hang out by the river? Why should we not stay in ankle-deep water? Why should we not stay in knee-deep water? Why should we not stay in waist-deep water? Why should we go deeper? At whatever point you're at, take the next step to go deeper. If you're hanging out by the river right now, all I ask you to do is go in ankle deep. If you're ankle deep, I ask you to go knee deep. If you're knee deep, go waist deep. If you're waist deep, take a swim, baby. Take a swim, right? Why? Because God uses the river to turn salty water into fresh water. I am more convinced than ever. I am more convinced than ever that time with God, sharing the pains and joys of life with Him, will turn the saltiest waters into fresh water. Psalms talks about God using the very places of where we weep, salty waters, where we weep, and He will turn them into fountains that we can drink from and get refreshed. And can I just say, I've witnessed it. I've experienced it. It's real. It's true. It's not fabrication. It's not made up. It's not some pie in the sky Mary Poppins life. It happens. He turns the saltiest places in our lives to fresh fountains of water for us to drink from. I don't understand how. All I know is that He does. That's all I know. I bet you a lot of people in this room could say, agree with me on that. This is one of the many characteristics about God that keeps me in the top right corner, living in awe. When I pause and I get still long enough to look back over my shoulder and see what God has done here at Oak River, when I see what God has done in my life and how He has taken the saltiest places and He's turned them into fountains of refreshing water, I just go, wow, what a God, what a God. What a God, what a God. And then the more you do that, the more you give Him credit for doing that, the more your trust and faith in Him grows. The deeper you get in your faith and trust. And there is no argument anybody could give me for not believing in God at this point. I've experienced too much. There's no way you could bring any intellectual argument you could to me and it's going to fail. Partly because I'm not really intellectually wired so much. Partly because I have too much history with God. I have too much history behind me. Young faith people, get you some old faith people. Old faith people, get you some young faith people. This is one of my favorite things about Oak River Church, is that we have multi-generations in here together. And we love each other and we support each other. I love it so much. It's not, well, this is all, I'm glad we don't have a service for young people and a service for old people. No. We need each other. We need each other. Why else? For life that flourishes. I love the phrases in that passage that we read that said, many trees, abounding fish, fish of every kind. This is how God originally designed us to live, on earth, in the here and now. Not in the pie in the sky heaven someday, although I look forward to it, I do. But on the earth right now, we are to reflect His kingdom. And His kingdom is life that flourishes. What did Jesus say? I have to come to give you life and life more abundant. Now, here's the thing. Don't think for a second that means that I don't have suffering in my life. Suffering does not negate flourishing life in any way. If anything, I could make a pretty good argument that it actually highlights the flourishing. Because when I see someone suffering and going through really hard things, and they still find a peace in God, and they still turn their hearts towards Him, and they still look at Him, and they still praise Him, I say, that's a flourishing life. That's what it looks like. And it gives me hope when I'm the next one who's going to suffer, because we all do, that I will be able to flourish even in suffering. We can demonstrate that. I feel like there's such an ache that people are groaning to see it right now. They're groaning. Please, can you show me some hope for this life and for the next life? Can you show me what it looks like to have a foundation that stands no matter what shakes it? And then we can leave others in awe too. There's another very familiar passage in Psalm that says, God prepares a table for us right in front of our enemies. That's what flourishing life looks like. Now, before you think enemies are someone of a different political spectrum or a different race or a different socioeconomic, please, no. Our enemies are sin, guilt, shame, lack, offense, and anything else that sucks the flourishing life out of us. And God says, you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to make a banquet table for you, and you can sit down and enjoy a fine meal while all of those things are looking on in envy. While they're all going, wait, what? How can he sit at that table and enjoy a nice, good, delicious meal crafted by the God of the universe when he's going through that? Because we have flourishing life. That's why. So God is the source of the river. The further we go, the deeper it gets. God turns salty waters into fresh water, and he brings flourishing life. But that's not all. One more verse, verse 12. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. In fact, there will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the fruit flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. So why should we go deeper? So that our lives can demonstrate food and healing for everybody around us. Fruit trees of all kinds. You know what that means? It's perpetual flourishing life. It's not a tree that dies in the winter. It's a tree that continuously, it's not even a tree like anything we have on earth, that produces the new fruit every month. Oh, what month is it? Plum month. Today is plums out there, plums. Oh, what month is it? Nectarine? What month is it? Peach? Like literally every single month is a different fruit growing. There's always fruit on the trees. The fruit is for food and the leaves are for healing. You see, this river in Ezekiel points forward to Jesus, our Messiah King. And I find it interesting that it starts out as a small stream leading from the temple. Because if you think about the impact of Jesus in his 33 years of life, it was pretty minuscule. Sorry, don't mean to be sacrilegious, but it was pretty small. He impacted a small group of people, considering the whole world. But the further it goes, the deeper it gets. The further it goes, now it's a raging, raging river. Ah, he's our suffering Savior, our overcoming warrior. It's interesting because at the end of Revelation, this river is mentioned again. But this time it flows from the throne. And this time, instead of flowing down through the valley into the Red Sea, it flows down Main Street. In fact, when John described it, the angel said to him, come, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Who is that? Thank you. Lily said, us. Us. And then the angel showed him the holy city coming down out of heaven, and it was radiant and stunning in beauty. There's no need for sun or moon because the glory of God gives it light. The lamp is the Lamb. The river that flows down Main Street is as bright as crystal. Can you imagine if you have any crystal in your home, you think about how bright it is, how it glistens in the light. The river is like that. But there's trees on both sides. There's fruit and leaves. New crop every month and leaves for the healing. There's no more tears, no more curses, no more darkness, no more weakness, no more flaws, no more failures. Ah. After hearing all of this, is there anyone in the room who wants to go deeper? I don't care if you're already swimming, there's still deeper waters. I think there's a point we come to in our spiritual life where we can't even swim. All we can do is float. Because swimming, you can't swim with that current. It's too strong. And so you just, Spirit of God, take me wherever you want. I'm going to relax and float. And I'm not going to get stressed out. And I'm not going to worry about where the river takes me because I trust you, Lord. And it's so much peace when you do that. There's so much peace. It's not hard to go deeper. It's intentional. That's all. It's intentional. It's spending more time with God. What does that look like? I've gone over this 1,000 times, but I'll do it again. Talking to Jesus. Reading his word. Singing songs to him. Writing poems to him. Drawing pictures for him. Like the one Kailana drew for us there to live in awe. It's all of those things. It's all of those things. It's instead of when you're suffering, running away from him, it's running to him. It's asking him, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? I know I'm going to work. You know I have to work. I need a job to take care of my family. But what do you want me to do today at work? What do you want me to talk about and pray about on the way to work? What do you want me to think about? What do you want may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. That's how you go deeper. And the more you go like that, day by day by day, it's not exciting necessarily. It's intentional. There are moments when it's exciting and there's other moments where you're like, are you there? Seriously. That is part of it. And I think when it's like that, that's when we get a chance to show the Lord and those around us and ourselves that our faith is not based on feelings. It is based on truth and what I know. And even when I don't feel his love pouring over me, I know that it is. And so I count on that. Ah. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the young faith in this room. Oh, I thank you. They're asking us to raise the standard. I thank you for that, for their passion and their commitment to you and their love, their deep love for you and humankind. I am so thankful for that, Lord. But I also celebrate the old faith in the room. I thank you for those who have been decades long in this journey, and they can tell story after story after story of your faithfulness. Oh, God, I thank you for who you are, and that even the generations in this room, it's not enough to tell how great you are. I think of my grandfather who was a pastor and my great-grandmother who was an evangelist and he would travel around to churches and preach. for generations. I think even further back than that, of people I don't know. I think of people from the Bible, all testifying of your goodness. And all the generations to come who will also testify of your goodness. So God, we just want to go deeper with you. Show us how, moment by moment, day by day. Show us how to go deeper. We want to have you more involved in our lives. In Kale, come inside, stay, abide within. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to begin serving. We're going to have family communion. And all who want to participate are invited to participate. But I do ask that you hold the juice and cracker until all have been served, and then we'll take it together. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are heights of joy that I cannot reach till I cross that river. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I rest at peace in you. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Last week, when I was taking communion over here during worship, because we had individual communion, the craziest thing happened. I'm not a wine drinker. I'm not anti-wine. I'm just not much of a wine drinker. And I picked up my cup after I'd taken the bread. This is crazy. And I felt like Jesus said, "Cheers." Is that nuts? I'm nuts. And I was like, that cannot be God. I have good Southern roots, and most of them down there are teetotalers. You know what a teetotaler is? No alcohol at all. Nazarites. So I'm like, that can't be from God. But I looked it up this week, what the word cheers means, where it came from. And it's from the Anglo-French word that I would assault if I tried to pronounce, but I think it's share, share, something like that. And you know what it means? Face. Face. Expression. And it was like the Lord said, see, cheers. I make it possible for you and I to be face to face. I make it possible for you to see the smile on my face, the expression on my face. And it's not this. Makes it possible for us to swim in the river of life. Hold your cracker. I'm going to read what's back on the card. I felt really prompted to do this again. We said it together once, but I'm just going to read it for you. As a prayer, dear Jesus, thank you for your broken body. You might want to break it. which has fully demonstrated your unending love for me. Thank you, Jesus, for spoiling the principalities and powers of darkness and totally stripping them of all their authority to accuse me for sins that you have already been judged for. I praise you, Jesus, and celebrate the full benefits of your sacrifice, which includes my healing and health for my body, soundness in my mind, and peace in my soul and spirit. Let's take the bread together. Dear Jesus, through the symbol of this shed blood, I choose to renew my faith and trust completely in what you accomplished for me at the cross and not in my own actions or abilities. Thank you for unclogging the rivers of your living water within me. By faith, I release forgiveness to myself and everyone who has ever hurt me. Jesus, thank you for freeing me from whatever deposits were made in my soul that were not from you. By faith, through the blood of Jesus, I drink from your river of nourishing, flourishing life. Cheers, y'all. Oh. That's almost as unconventional as M&M's for communion. Remember when Dave did that? Oh, man, I miss him. Yesterday when I was having my personal devotional time, I thought of him again. I often do. And I was like, God, thank you for smiling at me. I'm smiling back. Look like a fool in my living room, but it was good. It was good. And I could just imagine Dave up there smiling too, you know. Okay, a couple of things I want to share with you that are exciting. We are preparing for growth. Felt like we were supposed to do this. And so we're preparing for growth in several different ways. First of all, the water baptism. I'm doing them in the order I sent them. There you go. So first, grow in your faith journey by getting baptized in water on August 2nd. That'll happen immediately following the service. We'll share lunch together. Read the email for more information. Text me if you want to get baptized. There's the number. Just give me your name and say, water baptized, please. And here's the thing. We used to do a baptism class, but we've kind of turned it into a message. We did that last year, and we're going to do that again on July 26th. So we'll talk about what it means, why it matters, who should get baptized, blah, 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 blah. It's going to be good. If you happen to have to be out of town for that message, you can listen online and still get baptized, okay? So the next way we're preparing for growth is we are offering some volunteer opportunities, because if you build it, they will come, right? And so if you want to serve in any way here at Oak River with joy and excellence, please text the designated person below for more information. For childcare, River Kids, for social media coordinator, for live sound support or technician, for greeter, usher, and then Judy asked me to add hospitality. She needs help with hospitality. So if you're willing to get here a few minutes early or stay a few minutes late once a month, talk to her after the service and tell her, hey, I want to help, because we need to build that. And then lastly, I don't know if you have a slide for this or not. Yes, thanks. We are planning to send... Sorry, that's very unpleasant, isn't it? Sorry. I didn't mean to hit it. I was trying to move my hair out of the way. We are planning to send a missions offering to Hope Force at the end of July, and that offering will be designated for the people of Venezuela. If you follow the news at all, you know how tragic that situation is. So we just felt inspired to send a love offering to them at the end of this month. If you feel also inspired to add to that, take a tithe envelope and put whatever you're going to put in it and just write on it, Hope Force, or Venezuela, whatever you want. Venezuela is harder to spell. But designate it somehow that it's for that. And whatever you give this designated to that will go 100% with our love offering. Okay, if you have any questions about any of that stuff, see me after church and we'll talk about it. But not for long. I won't be here long because Kylie and I are going to Mitchell's, right? Yeah, we're using that gift card we got from Mother's Day. So enjoy chats, coffees, bagels, and puzzles. We have fruit. We have bananas and plums today. So enjoy. Love you guys. Oh, and we have cookies too, I think.